Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Radio personality Paul Harvey used to have a segment of his show which he called The Rest of the Story. In it, he often presented historical vignettes whose outcomes were generally known by most of his listeners. And then he set forth the little-known events that led up to these occurrences. Thus, he set forth the rest of the story. It is quite common for various religious teachers to set forth their theology by using parts of various scriptures which, when taken alone, might purport to lend credence to their errant doctrines. Yet they leave off the rest of the story, which sets forth the whole truth, which is often inconvenient to their own perverted theories. Taking scriptures out of their proper context and ignoring parts of them is to handle the Word of God deceitfully. When a lie is told often enough, even those who tell it can start to believe it is the truth. Paul declared that he renounced such practices and plainly told the Ephesian elders, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." His desire was to manifest the truth, knowing that the plain truth is its own defense and does not need the sophistry and eloquence of men in order for it to stand. Generally, the scripture doctrines which are most ignored by this practice are those having to do with the absolute sovereignty of God in the salvation of His elect bride. Instead of magnifying the glory of His grace, these perverters of truth seek to promote the notion that the enjoyment of salvation is a product of the free will of men. Here are a few scriptures that are often partially quoted and subsequently have their true meaning and import misrepresented. The first is, "God is not willing that any should perish." This quotation is set forth to prove that God is trying or hoping to save all men. The actual truth of the scripture is plainly revealed by reading the whole passage. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The us of whom Peter is speaking are the exact same ones to whom he addressed his epistle. He is clearly speaking to those who are referred to as the beloved. God is not willing that any of His elect should perish, and will bring them all to repentance and faith. Another is, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." This quotation is true enough, but is partially quoted in order to prove that God is bound to save all who make a profession of faith. Those who leave off the rest of the story would do so in order to deny the election of grace. The whole scripture is, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Those who are given to Christ in sovereign election are the exact same ones who come to Him and are never cast out of His presence. Another is, "All things work together for good." Once again, this partial truth is set forth in a manner to deny the specific love of God for His elect people. The whole scripture reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." His purpose is clearly set out to be the conformity of the elect to Christ. Thus, He causes all things to work in concert for their benefit and ultimate blessing. Another is, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Here's another passage which is true enough as it is quoted, but by ignoring the verse which follows it, the power is purported to be the free will of man to receive it. When we read the following verse, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God," it is clear that the power to receive and believe is bestowed by the operation of the new birth, which is not the product of flesh and blood, nor free will, but is rather the work of God Himself. He goes on to clarify that only those who hear shall call upon Him, in whom they are caused to believe. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This faith is the gift of God, and not a work of man, lest he should boast of having it. Nothing is more common than empty professions of faith and religious activity which is sometimes described as calling on the name of the Lord. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The Lord's people are made willing in the day of his power, as he said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Do you follow the shepherd? Can you hear his voice?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.